Well, let's talk about, we're going to get now into really some practicalities of sanctification. We've talked about sanctification theoretically, as far as making sure we understand it theologically, you know, what it is. It is a process wherein God is working and we are working. Just not so. Now let's just talk about, okay, but what does it look like on the ground? Like, how does this work itself out in our lives? Could somebody just read the key passage for us? Somebody read it nice and loud up top there. We reflected on that last week. I hope that that was a helpful sermon for all of you. So let's talk about some key questions and ideas. First things first. I do think it's helpful for us to all remember that there is not just one thing that will unlock growth in your Christian life. I think there can be the temptation for us as Christians to be looking for that one little piece, that one little thing, that one little avenue. Aha, I've just been missing this. And if I lock in on this and really grab hold of this, then my growth in Jesus will catapult. Okay? What are some examples of things that we might hope for might be the one thing that we need to really grow? Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've heard lots of counsel throughout the years, right? Counsel given from good and godly people to other good and godly people, but maybe just too generic or too high level and not specific to where they are. Like, hey, just remember that God is sovereign. That'll help you move forward in trust of God. Now, that's a true statement. But it's not like just knowing that one thing is going to be the key that you need to really unlock growth. Ah, remember that God is sovereign. Or how about this? Labor to root your identity in Christ. You know, maybe your problems are that you're rooting your identity functionally in your job. And so when your job is dissatisfying, you are unbelievably dissatisfying. Unbelievably dissatisfied, and maybe you are dissatisfying to those around you too. But you are unbelievably dissatisfied. Well, to that person, they probably do need to hear the word, hey, you do need to root your identity in Jesus Christ. Your job can really stink, but you're primarily not a worker. You're primarily a Christian. So if you're clear on that, then work can stink, and life can still not stink, right? To be simple about it. But that's not like just the one thing that you need to know, that everybody needs to know. Root your identity in Christ, all of you. We're good to go if you do that, okay? Another, avail yourself of accountability relationships, you know? Now, I'm a huge fan of accountability relationships, but that's not the key to growth for every Christian, you know? You've just got to have accountability in this. Well, that may be true, and that's a good thing, but it's not the one thing. Make use of the means of grace. Wage spiritual warfare. Get busy serving others. Remember your justification. Ask God for victory in prayer. Set your hope on Christ's return. Have you just thought about those things in relation to things you're struggling with? I'm sure you have. I mean, those are all very good things, but I would argue that there's not just one of them that's going to be the key to you just really making progress in the Christian life. There's no one key. Thoughts on that, or other things that you may have heard or may have thought or may have hoped, if I just do this, then I'll really be able to grow. Anything? What? The right Bible reading plan. Okay. That'll catapult my growth, okay? Chris? Memorizing scripture, okay. Well, we are to surrender ourselves. We're going to have a staring contest. You may. I'm not sure if I understand your question. Well, you know, that's a good point, John. But I would even say, so that's a good thing to add. This list isn't exhaustive. But I would even say the statement, surrender yourself, it in and of itself is not the one key to Christian growth either. There's still going to be other ways in which you're going to need to employ other things in order to assist you in your sanctification. To surrender yourself isn't the one key either, although it's a very good point. He wasn't a plant, folks. Others? Other things? Other thoughts?
What about victory over that one sin?
Yeah, if I just get victory over this one thing, that is really what I need. My sanctification will functionally be over. It'll be a ride from here. Go ahead, CJ. That's good, CJ. Thank you. Other thoughts? Chris? I'm not saying they're not specific enough. I am saying they're good. I am saying my thesis for this one point is that there is no one single thing that is the key to unlocking growth in the Christian life. And I think sometimes we Christians, in a desire to apply, we lock in on one thing that we think we need. And what I'm arguing for is that sanctification is never going to be unlocked by just one thing.
Couldn't it be that one thing for the moment, though?
Yes. Yes, you may need that.
Where I need to grow right now.
Yes.
The one thing that I need right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely could be the one thing that you do need here right now and that you do need to take in and be transformed by and live in obedience to right now. Absolutely. But it won't be that thing forever. There'll be a different thing later. Yeah. Yeah. The right discipling relationship. Could you just tell us more about that, Brad? That's helpful. And we love him.
So this list is three times as long as my pea brain can remember. If I could only have three off this list, what would be the top three?
Well, I wouldn't want to assent to that. I would say that in and of itself is it, again, it's not about, well, these are the ones you really, out of this list, these two or these three are really the ones you need, John. Well, I appreciate you asking the question. That's really the point, is that our hearts are dynamic and life is dynamic. And we are always changing. That quote from Dever last week in his book Discipling, which is so good, he said, we are changeable and changing creatures. We're always changing. Which I think is why even Ephesians tells us that let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but that which is good for the use of edification, that it may give grace fitting for the moment. Grace fitting for the moment. I'm misquoting it a bit, but that's ish. We need to apply we need various things at various times to help us be transformed into the image of Christ. And we're going to get into kind of how God's varied grace works to transform us. Matt? Sure. I think that's very true. Joy? Speak up just a hair. Thank you, Joy. Thank you. Again, I really, and Karen too, but I just really appreciate you guys just jumping in and just giving your input and giving your thoughts. It benefits all of us. Karen?
I've been reading that Delighting in the Trinity book. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And even to give each of my kids the same things, it would actually not benefit them the best.
Correct.
They need different things at different moments, and because they're different people, they also need different things from their siblings. And I'm just seeing this as like, this is the love of God for us.
Yes, that's very good. Let's actually, well, Andrew, no, go ahead, and then we'll keep going. Yeah. So let's just talk about what is it that changes us? Sanctification is a change process, most fundamentally, right? It's a transformation process. Well, what is it that actually changes us? This picture beneath is not a picture that I came up with. It's from David Powlison's book, How Does Sanctification Work?, which is a small resource, a very practical and helpful resource. And this is directly from him. And I find it to be a good way to help us. But what is it that changes us? Well, he represents this as, think of it as a house with a foundation and with roof and with sides. And we are the house, but there's different parts. So what changes us? Well, multiple things change us. God changes us. Truth changes us. Suffering and struggle change us. Wise people change us. And we change. There's all of these different inputs and external factors that God uses to change us. And so what we're going to do this week and next week is think through these various different aspects of change, what God uses to change us, and we're going to think about how do we relate and how do we understand this to be happening. So turn over. We're just going to talk about two today. Number one, God changes you. So in the sanctification process, let's just be really clear. God changes us. Like directly, like supernaturally, like even apart from means, right? So it's God changing us through his word, right? We know that's true. So truth changes us. So that could still ultimately go back to God. But I'm just saying God himself supernaturally changes us. He does. Could somebody read for us Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27? Just nice and loud. So that's God supernaturally giving us spiritual life, right? And it's God who does it. He just does it. He changes us. He changes our heart and takes our heart from a heart of stone, unresponsive to him, and turns it into a heart of flesh, responsive to him. He puts his law into our hearts. He causes us to be inclined to walk in his ways and in his word. That's just God changing us. Somebody read Philippians 2:13. So I think that this is just a good reminder that even in all of the means that God uses to change us, it is God who is changing us, right? So Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So even as you are doing the work, it is God who is supernaturally doing the work. It is God, ultimately, who changes us. And I think that's a good reason why this is the foundation of all things, is for us to remember sanctification is really not about us figuring out how to get ourselves together. Sanctification is about us being transformed into the image of Christ, increasingly thinking his thoughts, living out his passions and priorities, and it's God who supernaturally does this in us. Yes, through means, but it is him who is doing it. And then if you just want to do some encouraging reading on God the Holy Spirit, just open your Bibles to John chapter 14 and read 14, 15, and 16. John won't read it right now, but John chapter 14, 15 and 16, where Jesus speaks of the necessity of he dying and rising and going to the Father so that the Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will then work in us supernaturally and divinely to transform us. And so just a question that I think we want to remind ourselves and ask ourselves is, are you mindful that you need God to be at work in your life every day? There is not a day, brothers and sisters, where we should not wake up and just remember, oh God, I am entirely dependent on your grace today. And not just like your grace, oh, you know, I'm saved. Great. No, we want to live for the Lord Jesus. And in living for the Lord Jesus, in this world where there is the world, the flesh, and the devil, we should wake up each day just recognizing, oh God, I need you. I need you to work in me. I am in need. Just any thoughts on that? Does that resonate with anybody? Anybody like, yeah, I need that word? Wes?
So, in this point, what you're describing is not the Holy Spirit applying God's word to our hearts and changing us, but you are speaking of a process where God is unilaterally and imperceptible, in a way that we couldn't clearly see, oh, I heard God's word. It was God's Spirit supernaturally just changed my character. Is that what you're describing?
I'm saying that, and I'm saying more than that. I wouldn't want to say, yes, he works through means. So I'm saying that, and even when he's working through means, he's the one who's working. I'm wanting us to, and I'm keying off of David Pallison here, I'm just wanting us to recognize and remember in all of sanctification, it's God himself who is changing us.
So you're not saying that there is a sanctification that could occur apart from God's word influencing
and... I think there is sanctification that could occur apart from God's word influencing and forming. That is not the normal means of sanctification, though. So, I mean, God himself can remove... Let's just take a lustful desire or a covetous desire. God could just remove that. And sometimes he does. It is not the norm, though, I will just tell you. And so I find many Christians just praying, oh God, please remove this from me. And yet not saying no in the moment of temptation. And they're just asking God to supernaturally just remove it. He could supernaturally remove it. But what I'm telling them is the normal pattern of sanctification is you need to say no today, no tomorrow, no the next day, no the day after that, no the day after that. Here, and let me just help you. I'll send you a reminder email each day. Say no. Not really. But when you do that over a period of time, what you find is that God has worked to lessen that covetous desire. The desire is lessening. Well, it's God that's doing that. So the normal way he works in sanctification is through us working. He is working. But I also just want to affirm, yes, God himself can just supernaturally, sovereignly change. We certainly see it in regeneration. He just changes the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So, does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, I love that one. Steve?
Think of the analogy of the potter and the clay. I'm trying to think of how this relates to this. Like you can just pluck out the little pebble that's in the clay. It's forming us. There might be temptation for us to say, okay, I'm just clay. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let God form me into what he wants me to be. I think that's a great analogy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely, like, who here has heard that phrase, let go, let God? It's bad theology, okay? It's just bad theology. So the Christian life is not just like a release, do whatever you want, I'm a passive agent. The Christian life is you are very active, and you're called to be very active. But in that activity, recognize it is still God who is at work changing you. God is the one who ultimately gets the glory. God is the one you are dependent upon. And are we just mindful that we need God every day? So in a sense, don't stress too much about, am I saying, is this God working through means or not through means? Or is this, you know, which one is it? I'm just saying, God is always the one at work. Always. Whether supernaturally apart from means or supernaturally through means, both are true. It's God who's doing the work. And are we super clear that we need God to do a work in us, to transform us? Does that help? Okay, I saw Chris and then Andrew. Yeah, and that's bound up in this model too. So, you know, suffering and struggle change you. Circumstances. Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that was it.
Okay.
He just does stuff that you didn't expect. And absolutely, you have to respond to God in the manner, but I mean, that's not like it's just like a quiet time.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew?
One of the things that I've been struggling with recently is my life now has an increased level of mundane circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And like in retrospect, it sounds funny, but like I realized for a while I've been reluctant to submit those mundane things as a matter of sin that needs to be repented of in a place that I need to be changed to God and ask for help. Because God will help me not be resentful of my family while I'm doing the dishes. He certainly will. I just have to ask him for that help and then like consciously put in the effort to not be resentful.
And you bring up a phenomenal point that I think we need to hear, is that sanctification really happens in the mundane, people. It happens when your alarm goes off and it's time to get ready to take care of your children, to take care of yourself, to go to work. It happens at work when the directive comes down that you think is moronic. It happens when you get home and, you know, there's like Legos all over the floor and you can't help but to trip over them and fall. It happens when the dishes are there. It's just sanctification actually happens in the mundane. And I think society and our hopes are that we're like a deer that makes phenomenal leaps and bounds over the norm, and we just live this victorious, wonderful Christian life where it's like Christian radio, and it's Chris Tomlin, and it's just all of life is worship. And it's like, no, actually, yes, all of life is worship, but that actually looks like saying, oh God, I was just pretty frustrated with my family for making dishes. How dumb is that? But yet I am. And you can only laugh if you identify, right? So, you know, I'm dumb. Help me to not be dumb. This is what you have for me. Praise you. Let me get to work.
And just to follow up on that, I think what helped me was one of the kernels of truth that you started this with, which is there's a difference between justification and sanctification. Because justification is like a climactic, cataclysmic.
It is.
Instantaneous change.
Yes. Or declaration. Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, what we actually want is we just want for all those circumstances that are opportunities for our sanctification and God presenting to us the necessity for us to trust Him, rest in Him, obey Him. We just want for all those to go away. That's what we really want. And I'm right there with you. Let's talk about the word of truth changes us. So God changes us. That's the foundation, okay? And the word of truth changes us. Psalm 19:7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Our sermon text from last week, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 15:3, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15:3. One of the main means that God uses to transform us is the word of truth. What, brothers and sisters, are you taking in? Whatever you are taking in is shaping you, is forming you, is increasingly becoming lenses that you're putting on your eyes and through which you are seeing yourselves, your family, your work, your leisure, your sleep, your intimacy, your friendships, everything. What you are taking in is shaping you. And so here is a fear that I have. Fear that I have is that we think, well, we're not those fundamentalists. You know, they, you know, wouldn't come anywhere near anything that had the word secular on it. So they were, you know, We can listen to music that's not explicitly Christian. We can. We can watch a movie that's not explicitly Christian. We can. We can do things that aren't explicitly Christian. Aren't we glad that we're not those fundamentalists that just don't do everything, right? My question is, all things are lawful, not all things are helpful. What are we rebounding, if you will, and in the name of freedom and woohoo, you know, we're just going to give ourselves to all sorts of things that are really not helpful. And so my question is just like, what are you taking in? And I don't just mean what are you watching on Netflix, though I do mean what are you watching on Netflix. I mean, what are you just taking in? Like is Bible reading time, like, if you were to actually painfully set a clock for when you began to open your phone to look at something not necessary, Safari, TikTok, Instagram, Twitface, all that, and you were to just clock how much time you spend, okay? And nothing sinful is coming through those feeds, but just what are you getting? You are getting mental and emotional mush that is shaping you and forming you into mush, right? So how much if you were to actually clock it, how much time would be there versus how much time would be in God's word and prayer, right? Or articles. Like when you are trying to think through an issue, what articles, what resources, what are you going to get help, right? I just think, boy, I said it last week, so I'm going to say it again. I have you for 45 minutes on Sunday. That is not a lot of time to form you. That is not a lot of time to form you. Why am I sending out resources? Because I'm just hoping you're going to look at the resources I send out more than you look at some random resource from some random person that may or not be really helpful. I'm just hoping you're going to look at the things that I send out. Why do we have a resource page on our website? Because I want you to think, you know, if I need a resource, I want to go here. So I just think it's worth us reflecting, you know, what voices are we listening to in writing, online, in person? I'll stop monologuing and I'll let you give thoughts here. Corey. And moving on. Let me also just compliment Corey on something, and then it may be helpful for you. If you, like so many, are like, man, I don't want to spend as much time on my phone, but it's like it's just hard. Like I just am used to in a quiet moment, I just pull it out, and so I'm just used to that. And if you're thinking, man, is there any way that I might be practically helped to just not look at my phone quite as much? Well, Corey actually just recently purchased a smart, dumb phone that has a GPS, you can actually download audiobooks to it, and you can download certain podcasts to it, but it doesn't have a browser, the world is not at your fingertips, and it's not, it's a smartphone, but it's a dumb phone, and it's just not as exciting. And what does that do? It kind of trains your mind to be a little less dependent upon the dopamine hit that you get by pulling it out and looking at something. So if you want to find, if that interests you, if you think about that, just go talk to Corey. So I just commend you for thinking about that. And you did that for the good of your soul, just the good of your focus, the good of your thinking. Go ahead, Elisa. Yes. Yes. Tell us about it. Yeah, so where do you go for parenting advice, marriage help, whatever? Are you going first to Scripture and to mature Christians in your church? Bottom foundation, yes, that would be the best thing. That would be the wisest. But oftentimes my guess is that you're actually first going to the least trustworthy source of knowledge, the digital world, which may have good information. And in fact, we may point you to a good article there. Us as elders and Brad and I, we're like, oh yeah, look at this, or look at that. We're making use of resources, but there's such a glut out there. And they don't know you personally. We know you personally. So we might think, I think this is what's most helpful for you. So are you going first to the digital world for advice, or first are you going to the Bible and to shepherds and to mature Christians? This would be the best resource. This would be the least most effective resource. Let me finish this up. I've gone a little bit over. I apologize. Got a little excited there. So let me pray for us, and it's wonderful to have you. We'll meet next week. Lord, thank you that you are in the process of changing us. Please, Lord, we recognize our dependence upon you this day. We express our dependence upon you this day, and we ask for you to continue your good work. And we ask confidently, knowing that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.